97 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Caddo Parish School Superintendent Keith Burton joining us. Keith, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you so much. There's a kind of a disturbing report talking about truancy in Caddo Parish, but when you look at the numbers that you can see this on Keel News, it's not just Caddo Parish.
No.
There's Bossier Parish Schools involved, but this is a statewide issue. How do we address this?
Yeah, well, we are, first of all. I mean, we actually made this one of our main priorities this school year. And the data that you're seeing is not really, I hate to say it's not really accurate, but when you look at what the true definition of truancy is, where we've got students missing, 10 plus days, we've got students that are becoming chronically absent. We're tracking those across every school and made a real concerted effort this year to address that. And just about, I mean, when I look at, and I went and reviewed our most up-to-date numbers, all across Caddo, we're seeing hundreds of more students in school. So I think once that data really shows current numbers, we're seeing a huge difference, not only in Caddo, but surrounding districts and statewide. Everyone from the Louisiana Supreme Court to Dr. Brumley, to our local school boards have really made school attendance a priority. And we've had to turn in what our district plans are and have implemented those. And again, when I looked as of this morning, we've got more than 30 schools across our district showing improvement with some really big numbers. I mean, if you look at Huntington High School, I mean, we've reduced the number of kids there by 119.
Because Huntington had more than 1,000 that were considered truant. On this report is from 24 to 25, so it's data that wrapped up in May, obviously.
Yeah, and so what we're looking at is current data. We addressed all of those things. Matter of fact, one of the very first things that we did, if we're going to make it a priority, well, we had to change how we do business. And so we changed our policy. Our board adopted stricter policies around attendance. I shifted staff from central office department out to schools that were our highest impact schools. We did a much better job with our office staff and our teachers around the importance of attendance. And then what we did is we really identified early when a student started missing school, we attacked it. I mean, we had office staff reaching out to families. What's the issue? We tried to be very proactive and really tried to implement a root cause, attack.
What is causing it? What are you hearing that is caught? Yeah. Is it a parent issue or is it a kid who just won't go?
Oh, Aaron, it's so dynamic. I mean, it was, just the other day, I was talking to staff about a specific situation where they had a hearing with a family. And of course, another time we can talk about how we've tried to remove our hearings from juvenile court to internally so that we're not sending kids to court as middle schoolers around truancy. But we had a 35-year-old single mother that had 9 kids.
Oh, God.
And was expecting number 10. You can't even imagine the challenges that she was had trying to get her 9 kids to school. I mean, I think there were only 7 that were school age. But I mean, that's what we're dealing with. I mean, many times it's just the impact of poverty. It is many times parenting skills. But then there's some things that are school-based too. I mean, they may not be doing well in school. And so, if I just want to avoid failing, I just don't go.
Mm-hmm.
There are some relationship issues around bullying. We've addressed those. about making sure that our school climates are such that students want to go to school. I mean, from the time they get on that bus, they're welcomed, they're talked to. When they walk onto that school campus, they're again acknowledged. You know, they're building relationships so students want to go to school.
Let me follow up a minute because I asked the state. I asked for clarification from the state. What makes somebody land on this list? And they told me a student is, and I'm quoting, a student is considered truant once he or she received 5 unexcused absences or 5 unexcused tardies in a semester. Do we need to look at that? Because, I mean, I was late to school 5 times probably every semester. And it wasn't flagged like it is today. Do we maybe need to look at that?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is ensuring that, you know, parents are getting the information to the school so that if absences or tardies are marked as, you know, unexcused, if they have documentation, then we can excuse them. A lot of times it just boils down to communication. I mean, the parent may have the data to show that, hey, you know, Johnny was sick or we had to miss because of a death in the family. It was a legitimate reason. We just don't have the backup. And so I think that's why putting, you know, moving some people into the schools to help the office staff communicate better. We have those people out on duty so that when, you know, Johnny walked mom and Jeff and Johnny's missed 3 days, someone's asking mom, hey, what's going on? We've missed him. What's happening? What can we do to help you? And another thing, I have to throw a shout out to some of our partnerships, because we've got, of course, you know, BYJ, Volunteers for Youth Justice, Volunteers of America, but also one of the things we've done this year is partnered with the Community Renewal, and we've started We Care Schools around many of our elementary, middle, and high schools, and they're pilots. But we've seen a tremendous difference implementing care strategies that have been used to, you know, to really boost neighborhoods. We've taken that model and applied it to schools and seen a tremendous impact. And again, I can't emphasize enough, if you look at current data, it's showing a huge reduction. Matter of fact, we've got, if you look at district-wide right now, comparing this year to last year, we've reduced truancy by 54%.
Wow. I need you to send me that current data, if you don't mind. And has this become a problem since the pandemic? Has that exacerbated it?
Mm. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, without a doubt. Not only did I think all of the fears that were out regarding COVID, but also, you know, the lost instruction time with people just and students and parents just isolating themselves from schools. Well, that really has.
Yeah, it also fostered a different attitude and way of thinking about attending school.
Yeah, it really has. Well, but let me tell you, one of the things that we did is we went back and addressed our policies and procedures so that we were upping the game with attendance. Before, a parent could write unlimited number of excuses for their child. And what we had was, unfortunately, we had many families abusing that. Mm. And so what we've done now is limited that to 3 days or 3 absences, you know, 3 absences. If you have, you know, if Johnny's sick, that parent can write a note and we'll excuse that. But if it goes past 3 days, then we are requiring there to be a doctor's note. And of course, if our attendance clerk are talking to the family and they know the situation, then they can excuse those. But yeah, you're right. There was just a really lax feeling about attendance and schools.
Keith, can you hold on with us? We take a quick break. I want to talk to you. I want to change gears, if we could, and talk about cell phones in schools.
Absolutely.
Keith Burton, Calipari School Superintendent Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Micah McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
here with Caddo Parish School Super. Bert, Nathan, and forgive me for kind of dropping this on you, but I want to switch gears just a little bit. I think one of the best decisions that not only Caddo Parish School Board, but school boards across have made is removing cell phones from classrooms. Have you been able to see data yet on the positive influence that this decision has made?
Yeah, I think, you know, can't thank the legislature and the governor enough for making this now a state law. I mean, I think it was signed in 2024, and it has made an incredible difference. Mm-hmm. When you look at attendance numbers, I think that has to have something to do with it. But really where we're seeing the difference is around student behavior, discipline numbers. Students are more engaged in classroom, and so, you know, we're seeing academic engagement because that's increased. It's really helped our growth. And of course, you know, we were very proud to have the growth once again in our schools based on the 2025 test scores. So, yeah, without a doubt, I mean, teachers, that was the number one complaint when I sat down with teachers and said, what can we do? All of them said, we've got to do something around student cell phones. So for the state to take on that, that's really helped with instruction behavior and really just the overall school culture.
I know every teacher that we talked to just absolutely loved the decision. Aaron's got friends that are teachers, mm-hmm. and they said it's the best decision that we've ever done.
Yeah, and you know, I think not only teachers and principals, but students would tell you the same thing too. You know, when they're forced to put those things up, they actually engage more with their peers. They're more engaged with the teacher and their lessons. They're not being pulled down by, you know, and we all know the around the intentionality of drawing those kids into all of the apps and all the, you know, algorithms that draw them in. But it's really made a happier student. I mean, their, you know, morale is better. They are having conversations during lunch and in the hallways and transition times, which is going to lead to better social skills and just being a healthier student. So I think definitely it's one of the best things that we've done to impact education.
Have y'all confiscated many phones? I know some of the kids try to get around the rules. Do y'all pick up the phones if it happens, and how big a problem is that?
Yeah, you know, we were ready when that first opened for this to be a huge problem. And, of course, we still pick up some, but it is not nearly what we thought it was going to be. The students know, and we, you know, we took a pretty hard stance on it from day one, so they know that they, you know, if it's out during instructional time, we take it. Parents can come get it in the afternoon, and just causing, I think, creating that sense of this is important, this is now state law, it's going to be enforced, really caused students to put them up. And so it's not been a problem at all.
And it's had to have made a huge impact on bullying, which was a huge and I'm sure continues to be a huge problem.
Yeah, you know, schools are always a mirror of society, and knowing that many times those students were on those phones 10 plus hours a day, the impact on bullying and not only improper use of photos, and we know what AI can do with photos. I mean, there's all sorts. Matter of fact, just recently in South Louisiana, you know, there was the huge case regarding improper, you know,
yes,
photographs, right, used of a student and what that caused. So, I mean, just being able to reduce that type of behavior across the board it's just been so positive for our district.
Keith, thank you so much. We appreciate your time this morning. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, and thank you again for reaching out.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye. Keith Burton, Caddo Parish School Superintendent Micah McCarty, 1017 FM, 710Keel.com.
Back with McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
I'd have to say the trip to Virginia was a very fruitful trip for the data center people. Stormy Gage Watts, Caddo Commission vice chair, went to a chair. I'm sorry, what? Chair. Caddo Commission chairwoman. Sorry, Stormy. She also went. She'll share her thoughts right after the break. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Last week, we spoke with Ursula Bowman, Shreveport City Councilwoman, chair that went to...
Vice chair,
mm-hmm. went to Virginia mm-hmm. to check out the data centers. Well, Caddo Parish Commissioner and Commission Chairwoman Stormy Gage Watts was also on that trip. Stormy, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us this morning. Tell us, what were your impressions of the data centers that y'all visited in Virginia?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me this morning. There was a very diverse workforce. It's a pristine establishment. Driving up to the location, you could tell that the area is well kept. They want to be good neighbors. Opportunity for advancement for a lot of residents here in Caddo Parish.
Your phone's breaking up. Can you get on your rooftop for a minute?
You want me back on the rooftop? No, thank you.
Oh, that's better. Right where you are is good.
I'm sure that's the data in the area. You know, a lot of people are not aware that we already have a data center here, right?
Mm-hmm. Downtown,
there,
right?
There is one downtown, yeah. A much smaller version.
Right, but they are already here. So would you like for me to start over?
I
broke up.
You're good. You saw and you walked. It was well kept, well taken care of. When you walked into the place, tell us what you saw.
A very diverse workforce. I saw an opportunity for investment in Shreveport, our infrastructure, education, our criminal justice system. Hearing from the actual company, I saw that they want to be good neighbors. They have programs for community involvement to help us where the deficits are with our infrastructure, with our education, and with our law enforcement.
And this is the same company that's proposing to come to Shreveport.
It is very similar. I will say that this will probably be a replica of what we saw there.
How loud was it, Stormy?
It's probably louder on this phone than it was in that center. There was no noise around it. We were actually able to visit an apartment complex and a very nice community that is right next to it. We could not hear anything. We were aware because they showed us a presentation before we actually walked the facility to let us know when the generators would come on when we were outside. So we were standing outside and one of the generators came on and you could see the stack on top of the building letting off the pressure, and it was not loud at all. We were able to continue our normal conversation. We didn't have to yell. It was very quiet.
Caddo Parish Commission Chairwoman Stormy Gage Watts, I know you've heard from constituents about concerns. What were those concerns, and were you satisfied? Were they addressed on your visit to Virginia?
A lot of those concerns were addressed on our visit there. I do understand that citizens are going to continue to have questions about an investment of this size. And I do believe that that is their right. Our goal is to improve the quality of life for all of the citizens in Caddo Parish while maintaining safety as our priority. Our resolution states that it will be 150% above the median income that is here. There was no one in that facility that made under $100,000, which would be equitable to what is our request here. With that being said, it is also just the very first step. We have a lot of opportunities that are left for us to make those necessary adjustments.
a lot of people are saying, oh, these data centers, you know, they bring a lot of jobs in the construction phase, but then once they open up, it's only a dozen or dozens of jobs. How many people did you actually see working in the data center?
There were a lot of people because there are a lot of different components to the data center. What I will say that it's a direct feeder to our local community because of the way that the company is set up, the way that they actually do business with the smaller businesses there. Every day they order lunch, right? So they're providing for probably more than 5,000 people around the facility.
What about the concerns about the water use? I mean, the resolution the city council approved allows the city to sell them 7.5 million gallons of water a day. I don't think they're going to use that much. Most data centers are about 3 million gallons a day. But there are concerns in our community that that will cause water pressure issues. You know our water issues. You're familiar with it. You've announced you're running for mayor. That's going to be something you're going to have to take on. What are your concerns with regard to that?
Well, our water system, I would say this. One of the things is that this is an opportunity to improve our water system first. Mm-hmm. Let me say that. Secondly, I will say that the data shows that Shreveport can handle that water usage. It is capable of handling over 80 million gallons per day, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think the sweet spot right now is about 20 to 30 million. So you still have way more than enough to handle that request.
Yeah, Brandon Snead addressed that in the MPC meeting that look, this is not going to be a problem at all.
And it won't impact water pressure. You're confident of that.
Right. And the thing is if we want to improve that infrastructure, where are the dollars going to come from? I believe that this is the catalyst to address that issue.
Okay, let's get to the electric rates. Everybody's worried that we're going to pay higher electric rates because of this data center. You've done the research, I'm sure. You've heard the talk. What did you find has happened in Virginia? Did they build an electric power plant? What did they do there?
Right. They do have their own power grids, so it should not affect our electricity rates. I believe that that's a myth and that those issues have been addressed as well.
Do you have, as you talk to us today, Stormy Gage Watts, do you have anything right now that remains unanswered for you or is questionable for you on a data center for Shreveport?
No, I am very confident that this is going to be a game changer for the city of Shreveport, actually for North Louisiana. I was in a meeting last week with a lot of my South Louisiana colleagues who wish that they had the problem that we have today with the data center. So that's good news for North Louisiana.
What do you say to your co-commissioner, Ken Epperson, who represents the district, who does not seem to be in favor of this? I know he's getting a ton of calls. What do you say to him today?
Well, I have the opportunity to speak with him by phone or in person if I need to. So I don't have anything publicly to say about, you know, his decision and where he stands on it because I haven't heard anything besides what you've heard in the meetings about it.
Okay. For those who don't know, a data center, we don't know who this is yet. The non-disclosure agreements are under fire by a lot of people saying, why did we do that? When will we know who this is and what it is?
Okay. I would say this. NDAs are very important when economic decisions are being made for economic development. Sometimes in situations, and you know this with SkyWest, the way that happened, that was negotiations that were going on way before we were even aware of it, right? You have to move and be able to pivot in situations like these. It's very important for the company to be able to address those issues once it becomes public information. But you don't want to kill the dream before it even becomes a dream, right? Mm-hmm. So I believe that you'll be hearing exactly who that company is once they've done their investigation about Shreveport and Caddo Parish as well, right? But once they are ready to move forward with their attorneys, then you will hear very soon, probably within the next few weeks, if everything goes well with the city council and as well as turning over the MPC's decision, if that happens.
That was my next question real quickly. Do you think the MPC's decision might have put any type of hindrance on our negotiations with this company?
I'm not sure, but I do believe that the MPC is a body that represents the city of Shreveport. And as I've heard through their interviews, is that they made the decision that they made because they just didn't have enough information about it. I'm not sure why they did not postpone it and just move forward with a no vote, but that was their choice.
December 18th, Thursday, it's on the city council agenda. I am told by folks that if it's not a yes vote, this company's moving on. You're optimistic that the council will pass it.
I really hope so. I would really hate to see yet another project leave Shreveport.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Stormy Gage Watts, thank you so much for joining us.
You're right. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Merry Christmas to you. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Is football even still going on? Wait, what?
Yes, there was an NFL game last night.
I turned it on for just a brief moment. We were watching the news. Mm-hmm. Then we turned it on for a few minutes. Didn't watch much. I actually went to bed kind of early last night. I stayed up too late night before.
I know. That'll get you.
And it's thrown me behind.
Mm-hmm. Your sleep patterns get off at our stage in life. I'm not going to say that. It changes things. It messes things up, you know. It's very weird. And I've been doing some Christmas shopping, looking at some things I want to get and trying to figure out, can I buy them local? And we'll take care of that this weekend, I hope, and get it all done. Because if you're not buying it local and you're trying to buy online, you need to order now. I mean, it's time. Oh, it's 9 days away now.
Can you believe that?
It's unreal. It's unreal. And
the 16th.
Yeah.
I remember, what was it? You were saying, well, the council meeting's December 18th. And I'm thinking, you just automatically think, well, that's a long way away.
Yeah.
December 18th? No,
Thursday.
It's 2 days away.
Yeah, exactly.
Now.
Exactly. It's funny because I have a brother having a birthday today. And he's retired, so there'll be no phone call in the 6 o'clock hour to my brother.
Right.
There probably won't be a phone call until the 10 o'clock hour to my brother. I think about that later. When you're retired, you know, he's one of those, he gets up and goes to Mass every day at, I think noon is his Mass he goes to. So that's when he has to be
Did
up
you
by.
Did you catch that, Reuben?
Yeah.
He gets up and goes to Mass.
At noon.
At noon.
Right, exactly. I sent him a
That's retired, baby.
Yeah. I sent him a gift. I was hoping that it would arrive, you know, closer to his birthday, but it came Friday. He loves pistachios. So I sent him from Nuts, the company that sells nuts, I sent him an assortment of different kinds of pistachios, and he got it, and he told me he wasn't expecting it, so he took it out on his patio to open it in case it was something bad. I thought, are you serious? Who's sending you something stupid like that you have to go on your patio and open it? I thought,
well, and
really?
It came from you, so what is he thinking?
Yeah, probably didn't have my name anywhere on it.
It's
quite the problem. But he was like, oh my God, it's so good. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it last. I said, enjoy it. That's the purpose of it. Enjoy it. And he goes, that was so sweet. But he's having a birthday today that is... let me just put it to you this way. It is, he's 5 years older than me. So you don't say the number out loud, okay?
Okay.
But so you know what number he's hitting today, which
oh,
is
wow.
kind of monumental. Yeah. Yeah. So it's his last year of Glory. Let's just leave it at that.
Glory.
Because we're getting up there.
And that's crazy because I don't feel that way. And when
I don't.
When I say how old my son is, I'm like, how is that? Because I'm not even that old.
I know. It's amazing when your children get to where you were. You knew when you were their age, you were grown up. I mean, you're a grown up. You're on your own. Yeah, you were moving along in life.
Three. And what the hell? Two kids.
Man. Yeah, I was like, where's the third one? We don't ever talk about the third one.
No. What?
But it is, it's a big day for him. And I'm sending him a little gift. And he and I talk a lot. He's my travel buddy. And the 5-year difference between us, people go, why? Because my mama had 6 children, actually 7. But the seventh that I say is the seventh child, he's between me and my brother Mike. And his umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck. So he died at 4 days old. Oh. She went full term, delivered him, and he passed. You know, in today's medicine, he would have survived. But back then, he did not survive. Right. So there was an age gap between he and I. And I'm glad because he was the brains of the family. So no one wants to follow him in school. Right. No one wants to be behind. He's, you know, national merit final, all that bull schnoggle. So anyway.
Hate his guts and liver.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And when we come back after the news top of the hour, we're going to talk data center.
Yeah, a lot of forums in the next couple of days. If you want to voice your opinion, you got your chance.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com. I wonder if the data, do you say data or data?
Both. Everybody's alternating.
Data center. We're like, I wish we'd had this Virginia trip before the MPC meeting.
Taking a couple of MPC members up there, yes.
And because those that have gone are like, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look on keelnews.com, I've got a story about it with some pictures from Virginia. And you look at that data center right next to what looks like a very nice neighborhood.
Yes, it does. It really does. And if there's anybody that can stop a data center, it's folks that live in a neighborhood like that. Right. I mean, they're moneyed people. They probably donate to a lot of campaigns. And that's the question here in Shreveport. Is this the best location? If it were being put at Ellerbe and Flournoy Lucas, would people allow it? But when I say that, I say there's not an industrial complex down there.
Right.
This is an industrially zoned area. It's already industrially zoned. There are those that would say, well, why didn't they put it on land out by General Motors? There's plenty of land out there. A, that's not in the city limits. You want it in the city limits if you can for tax purposes.
Okay.
B, Libby Glass, if you tear that down, is there enough land for it there?
That would be large enough.
Yeah, maybe not.
I don't think. I don't know what the site looks like out at Greenwood Road.
Right. It's going to be 2.8 million square feet.
Right.
It's pretty big. But there is
already a water tower at the Libby Glass.
might have to build a new one. There's an 11 o'clock meeting today. It's the Caddo Commission's Public Safety Committee. It's a government plaza. I think your comments might be limited there. I don't know if you've got a 3-minute window there or not, but the people can show up there. And then there's another meeting tomorrow at 5:30 at the Broadmoor Library branch. And that's kind of an open forum, 5:30 to 6:30. If you want to ask questions, I think Grayson Butcher, Jim Talaferro are hosting that. Ask questions, bring up concerns. And then Thursday is the big meeting before the city council on the special exception permit, and they could vote it yay or nay.
That's not until December 18th, though.
That's
a long way away, right?
Thursday. Yeah. And when we had Justin Dixon in from NLEP about with the mayor last week, we honed in on this week's vote. If it's approved by the city council at that point, what time does dirt? When does dirt first turn?
I mean, we'll have to get a project first, right?
Okay.
I'm not sure, but if But if it doesn't happen on the 18th, we might not be turning dirt.
Period. So this might be it. If the council says no, then and or postpones it or anything like that, they may move on?
I think all the council people said yesterday, we have got to send the message that we are open for business. So it's not just this opportunity. It could be many opportunities.
The mayor said earlier, look, this is a death knell if we don't approve this for future economic development in our area.
But let me spin this one last thing, and it spins the wrong word. Let me lay it out the way it is. 6-0 vote last night by the council.
Kudos.
And then a unanimous vote on the SLB project by the commission. Listen, there's some people out here that have some concerns. I get it. We're going to listen to those concerns. But there's a lot of elected officials that want to see progress in Northwest Louisiana, Shreveport, and Caddo Parish. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's what we're going to do.
So did the MPC hurt us by just throwing this negative vibe out and got people riled up? Because according now to what we've heard, a lot of those concerns aren't valid.
That's true. But you still have skeptics who say, but what if they eventually are true? What if our electric rates do go up? What if we do have low water pressure in West Shreveport because of the use of water at this place? What if that happens? What are the safeguards built in? And I understand that. I get that. But I think they have taken care of that. The tax structure. What if they don't have 150 jobs? How soon are we going to come in and go, hey, now you got to pay your percentage. Now you got to pay your taxes because you don't have 150 jobs. Who's going to monitor how many jobs? Are we going to go in and check and count the people? How's that handled?
Again, we're not reinventing the wheel. It's been done. And
right.
Now some of these commissioners and city council people have gone to see where it's been done,
mm-hmm.
and have been very pleased by that trip and go,
right.
Okay, yeah, this is not what we've been told. This is
right.
not the concerns that people have. That's not what we saw.
And we have to remember, they are the leaders of our city. They are the ones in charge of weighing these tough decisions. What is in the best interest of the long term for our city? Is it saying yes to this data center and hopefully being optimistic about its success? Or if you say no to this data center, possibly putting a long term stain on this city for economic development? There are those that oppose it that say, but putting it in here could be a long-term stain, too, with our water, with electric rates, with, you know, lots of other things. But you also have a long-term stain if you vote it out and you say no, and it goes to Wascom, Marshall, Southwest Arkansas.
And that's a year's recovery process.
Oh, you'll never... Good luck getting somebody to come into the Libby Glass facility. It'd be dead.
Exactly.
It would be dead. It would not happen. Another Amazon facility? Baton Rouge has got two. Not getting another one here? That wouldn't happen. I mean, your big companies like that would say, nah, I'm not dealing with this crazy politics.
You won't allow an industrial facility in an industrial complex?
I know, and people are really bashing you and I. They're, oh, we're just pitching it. We're, you know, we're the pitchmen for it, whatever. Not a pitchman. I have questions, too.
I'm not getting paid by anybody.
Please.
I'm going by the information that I have.
Right. And if it proves me wrong, you know, I will be the first to say, hey, this was a mistake.
Right.
They lied to us. My electric bill did go up. I can't get water in the bathroom. We'll be less than a mile from this facility where we're sitting today.
Right.
If it impacts our water pressure here, I'll be the first one screaming. Hey, I can't wash my hands in the bathroom. I got no water pressure in there. Who lied to me about this? I'll be the first one yelling, promise you. Anyway, don't get me started.
Shreveport, Bossier City Mayor Tommy Chandler is going to join us coming up in about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
There's some changes going on in City Hall there.
Yep.
And also local, Max Chambers. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
He lit it up last night.
Boy, did he. You're going to hear one of the songs last night that, oh, so touching.
Shreveport, 14, was he 14?
He's 14,
On The Voice, and he made it to the finals.
Yep, we'll find out tonight if he wins it.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Big Stories of the Day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
Now, full disclosure, I haven't seen this. I don't watch The Voice. It's funny. I don't watch America's Got Talent or Britain's Got Talent, but I have seen so many clips, like on YouTube, of these performances, and I watched this performance from Max Chambers, Shreveport's own Max Chambers, who made it to the finals.
Yes, each judge picks one player from their team to move on. He's on the Michael Bublé team. Michael picked another member of the team because he was pretty confident Max Chambers would get the wild card vote, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
We found out last night Max was in the finale. Six of them are in the finale, the four from the judges and then two wild card choices. And Max got to sing two songs last night. They were charged with singing a contemporary song and a classic. And man, his contemporary was a Christian song. Unfreaking believable.
When I'm overwhelmed within from the weight of all my sin, I need a friend to call my own. I need a house to call my home. When I'm broken down inside and there's nowhere else to hide, I need a place where I feel known. Can someone help me? Then I hear your reply, bringing teardrops to my eyes, saying I'm not alone. Lord, I need you now more than ever. Won't you put my heart back together? I search the world till my editor just to find out your ways better. Oh, oh, your ways better.
Incredible song.
Amazing. Wow.
Now, I didn't like the dancers.
Yeah.
To go with that song, but it was a great performance.
You can see it, by the way, at keelnews.com.
Bossier Mayor Tommy Chandler joining us in about 10 minutes. Some changes going on at Bossier City Hall. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. And be sure to download that free Keel app.
Back Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Bossier City Mayor Tommy Chandler joining us coming up just after the break, talking about some changes going on at City Hall there in Bossier. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, some changes at Bossier City Hall. Actually, it's the City of Bossier City.
Okay.
That's the official name at City Hall and Bossier City. It's the City of Bossier City.
All right.
Okay, I'll stop that. Mayor Tommy Chandler joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Tommy, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Aaron. Good morning. And good morning, my friend Ruben. Hey, it's the great City of Bossier.
Oh, the great. I'm sorry, I forgot.
Oh, he forgot the great, yeah.
The great city of the City of Bossier. Yeah, well, okay. Well, you've had some kind of some changes going on at City Hall. The CAO, Amanda Nottingham, she's left and gone to SWEPCO. What instigated this decision?
I mean, it's her life. She can do what she wants to do. I mean, I'm going to miss her, and the whole city is going to miss her. Brett Madison is getting someone that has the best work ethics I've ever worked with before. She's in early. She leaves late. I could ask her a question, and she'd already have it looked up and already in a file and everything. And we're going to miss her big time.
So this was her decision?
Oh, yes. Yes, ma'am. They, well, yeah. And she wasn't looking. No, she wasn't looking. She told me she wasn't looking. And I think they came to her. She told me that it was a very, very hard decision because we're like a family up there in my office. We all are kind of, we're sad, but we're happy for her, you know.
She was the CAO, mm-hmm. and she has gone now. She's the Vice President of External Affairs for SWEPCO.
She'll start that job on the 6th of January, I'm told. Is she still with the city, or is she gone now?
Oh, yes, ma'am. She better be there bright early this morning, I can tell you that.
So she did give you 2 weeks' notice, gave you 2 weeks' notice to get kind of a little transition.
Oh, yes. And we have a council meeting this afternoon, too, so she'll be there. Yeah, we're going to miss her dramatically. She's really a great person. Her husband, her family, they all are great people, and we're happy for her. Well, we're going to miss her, but we know that Brett Madison and SWEPCO is, I hope they, her getting in there, I hope my electric bill comes down. She's so good. You know what I'm saying?
Well, those sound like big shoes to fill. Not that she has large feet, but you know what I'm saying. So what's next, Tommy, Mayor of Bossier City? Is there going to be a search committee? Do you put together a team? What?
You know, I get him, and the city council approves. I'm still kind of numb from finding out she's leaving because it's really, she's really a great person, but and a great worker. I will here. It's not even been but a few days, and I will start looking here pretty soon. Her shoes are going to be hard to fill, you know, and I'm going to make sure I get someone that's going to be even half as good as her.
Do you have somebody on staff that can serve as interim in the meantime, and while you're searching?
Yes, ma'am.
Who's that going to be?
I mean, my whole office up there will help me. You know, Miss Carol, Barbara, you know, Lewis, and I got other people that can help me up there too. You know, when I first came in and was elected, I was without a CAO for months. So it was, I've already gone down this road before when I first got elected, and I was signing more 100 to 150 sheets of paper a day and kind of going over stuff, working the two or three different jobs in the city hall.
What kind of person are you looking for? If somebody's thinking, hey, maybe I could do that job, what qualifications do they need to have to be CAO of Bossier?
So, well, first you got to love Bossier City. Everybody loves Bossier City over here. Somebody, of course, they got to be smart. They got to be approachable. They got to be a business friendly. No politics in and out. And how to work, you know, the system. Be there for me and be there for the council is what I need somebody to be. And Amanda, she did more than that. So she, it's going to be hard to fill.
Budget skills too, I would assume?
There's some kind of financial requirements, aren't there?
All that with government, stuff like that. Budgets, you know, permits, you know, all kinds of different things. Getting money, you know, from the state and whatnot, and working with state officials, local officials, you know, senators, you know, all the councilmen, everything. Just there's a lot to it. I'm still going over. You know, I'm gonna be looking, and it's gonna be somebody. It's gonna have to be good to take her shoes.
Well, this isn't the only position that you're looking to fill. Your fire chief, Brad Zagone, he's retiring. What, end of this year, first of next year? How's that,
yeah,
search?
Sir, I'm getting a double whammy on this. So, yeah.
But you've been
chief now for 15 years, and this will be both of them's last council meeting today. And Brad is like family. He told me he would stay. When I got elected for that one term, and he said he'll stay that, and he did. He kept his promise, and. Now, I do have somebody else now. I can go ahead and announce it. It's Blair Bockhouse. he is, you know, he's going to be in there for our next chief.
Tell us about him. What's his history?
He's big in the EMT part of it too, so he knows all that side. He's
within the Bossier Fire Department now already, right?
Oh yes, sir. I should have looked at it. He's been there 20 something years.
Wow.
So I think 21 or 22 years, I believe, if I'm right. Blair's a smart man. You know, that took me over a year to finally pinpoint somebody out. I had 14 or 18 different people take the test. I went through all the interviews, got down to like 6, then I got down to 3, then I got down to 2, and then, you know, and not that was, you know, Blair was hard to pick from. I just had so many good people that applied for the job, and that was very hard to determine which one I wanted. And then I think Blair's going to do an outstanding job.
Now, when does he start?
He'll start, well, Brad's last day is January 2nd. So
okay.
Blair will start. Well, he's kind of in training mode right now already. And then he has a year of probation before I really got hired him, so he'll start probably the 3rd of January.
He has good relationships in the fire department, a good people person?
Oh, you know, even one day I was out getting gas in my city car, and a fireman run out of the fire station, went up and hugged my neck and appreciated for who I picked. I mean, you know, I've had my back patted a lot for the person I picked, you know, on that. So it makes me feel good that all the firemen, you know, they like him, can work with him, have worked with him, and are planning to work with him a lot longer.
One more thing, a different subject, the boardwalk. Are we having any more good news coming from the boardwalk and the future there?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Pickler, they said they could. They're gonna have a soft opening in January, and open up more like into February now. Have you been down there lately and saw the boardwalk?
I have not.
You need to go down there. We power washed the whole bottom floor of the parking lot, restriped it, we repainted it, put a emblem on the north side with a big thing with a Bossier police seal on there that people know that we're there for protection and safety. As you walk in the breezeway, all the walls have been painted and cleaned up. We're going to have some TVs and stuff like that there to tell you what's going to be going on in or where we'll be inside the boardwalk.
How about any more retailers coming in? What's the interest?
What is the interest? Everybody wants to be down there right now.
So has anybody signed paperwork to move down there?
Ma'am?
Any paperwork signed to move more retailers in?
They're coming, yes, ma'am. But as you walk through the breezeway, you know how it had the rock that used to cover the ground to walk on?
Yeah.
We took all that up and put in some concrete to be smooth, so it'll be a lot smoother for people. We're cleaning it up down there. The city's doing their due diligence, and people are seeing it and wanting to come down.
And we're going to start getting, you say, stores are going to start coming back in?
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
Well, I mean, it'll be a lot of entertainment stuff coming down there, too.
Well, that'll okay. work, too.
Can you give us any tips?
You know, we don't want a firecracker to come out now, right now. We want a big blast when we announce all this, because it's going to be more than one or two things coming in.
Sounds like there are things in the works then.
Yeah, Regal's also looking to update their area too.
Boy, if they do, they could get a lot of business from Tinseltown.
I hear they're saying rodent free now.
Are they advertising rodent free?
I didn't plug that in for that though.
What about a data center for Bossier? Are y'all talking to any data centers for Bossier?
You know what? If one comes here, my arms are wide open, and I'm saying, "Come on, Bossier City, Bossier Parish, we would love for something like that to come."
How about 500 feet from your house?
It don't hurt my feelings. It ain't gonna be loud or nothing like that. You know, they're gonna use our water and stuff like that. But you know, I'm if they want to come to Bossier City, we're welcoming them.
Well, now that brings up an interesting question, though. Does Bossier have the water capabilities? Isn't the Red River the water source for Bossier?
Yes, sir. I mean, you know, if the Red River dries up, we're all in trouble.
Yeah. You got plenty of water right. flowing down.
Yeah.
Mayor Tommy Chandler, well, thank you for being open to whatever we threw at you this morning. You did a great job.
Thank you, ma'am. It was nice talking to y'all.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas.
Tommy, talk to you soon. We got to do lunch.
I'm ready.
Right. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Now breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
The great city of Bossier City has a new fire chief.
Starting after the new year, yeah.
Awesome.
That's cool.
Blair Bockhaus.
He's currently the assistant chief of the Emergency Medical Service Division. And he was, what, one of 14 applicants, did the mayor say?
14, 18, something like that. 14, yeah.
Whittled it down.
The test, so.
Passed the test, obviously, and then because you have to pass that civil service test first.
Right.
And then step in. Good relationships in the fire department. Sounds like a really good choice. So excited for Blair and the fire department in Bossier. As you heard, Amanda Nottingham is obviously moving over to SWEPCO. She'll be senior vice president for external affairs. She told me she starts January 6th. And Mayor Chandler says it's going to be tough to fill her shoes.
Yeah.
Be several people kind of helping with it on an interim basis until he finds somebody that can step up.
We during the break a minute ago, one of the kind of a video that popped up was one of these SpaceX booster rockets coming back down and getting captured into the launch infrastructure there.
A rocket falling out of the sky.
Coming back down out of the sky.
And the apparatus captures it.
And going back into the tower, the launch tower. Aaron,
gosh,
I'll never not be amazed.
The technology today. Never,
and it, not just at that, but I don't take for granted that I can get on this little handheld computer and look at my daughter in Florida.
Right.
If I wanted to. Right
have
now.
Have a chat with her.
Have a chat with her. I'm... And I know there are people going, what a moron. But I don't want to lose that.
I know.
I don't want to lose that amazement at what we're able to do now.
The last 2 days, there's a little button in my car. I can turn on the steering wheel heater. Who thought we needed that at some point? But now I love it. Yeah. I would have never thought we need to heat up our steering wheels. You know,
no, I don't want to heat up my steering wheel.
Wear gloves, whatever.
I don't want to heat up my steering wheel.
No, I turn on my little steering wheel heater. Thing comes on. It's nice and toasty. Of course, I've got the seat heater on, too, because I don't want to have a cold butt. Got to have a heated butt.
I don't want seat heaters either.
You don't?
No, I don't want to see heaters.
Why not?
I guess is it hot-natured?
Maybe.
You know?
It's nice and toasty.
Yeah.
Nice and toasty, especially if you've got leather seats. Man. It's not because they're cold if you get in there. Woo!
I wouldn't know.
I know you're driving that S10 pickup from 1999.
It's not an S10.
I know.
Tundra.
Yeah, it's a good truck.
It's got 260,000 on it.
Might be time.
No.
Might be time.
I honestly want to see if I can get 500 out of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I just had some service done
on it, so I'm hoping I'm good to go.
Yeah.
I don't have a Bentley though.
I know.
I'd be scared to drive a Bentley though. I would. I'd be parking so far out in the parking lot.
I know.
Yeah.
Nobody touches it. Yeah.
And on that note, yeah, no Bentley here. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. .7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Shreveport City Councilman Grayson Butcher joining us. Grayson, good morning.
Hey, good morning, y'all. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you for joining us. You and Councilman Jim Taliaferro are hosting public forums tomorrow night. It's that one is at Broadmoor Library. Tell us, give us deets on that.
Sure. Yeah, we decided that we were going to have a public forum just to kind of discuss. We're getting a lot of calls from people that didn't see the meeting on last Tuesday and Monday, where we were able to ask the SWEPCO officials and the water department a lot of questions. I think the main concerns that I'm getting about the data center are more about water. Are we going to have enough water to do it? What's going to happen to the wastewater? And then what about SWEPCO and the rates for both? So Jim and I thought it would be a good idea before this vote comes up on Thursday, to bring everybody out and let them ask those questions.
Are you going to have SWEPCO and city officials there to answer those questions?
That is the plan, yes.
Okay. There are folks who are saying, this all sounds good. It sounds like we've got all our I's crossed, I's dotted, T's crossed. But what if things don't go like we're hearing? What if our water rates, we do have water issues. We do have low pressure in West Shreveport because of this data center. What if they don't hire as many workers as they promise? Are we putting safeguards in to make sure that we're protected?
So we are told, yes, that there are safeguards in place. As far as the water goes, just think about the usage, millions of gallons of water. That will allow us, that we will be selling them. We're not giving them the water. We're selling it to them.
Mm-hmm.
That will allow us to make major infrastructure upgrades. Something else to keep in mind, and I made this point Tuesday's meeting, and I know a lot of people can't. The meetings are at horrible times. If I were chairman, I would change them to the afternoons, after work or around 4 o'clock where people could come and be a little bit more informed. But, 3 o'clock is hard for a lot of people to make. So I understand. And then others that watch it live stream can't watch it because they're working or doing something else. But, the question I asked was, how much water did the General Motors plant use? How much water did the Libby Glass plant use? Both of those use tremendous amounts of water. In fact, I've been told, and I don't have this just kind of off the record between myself and the director of water and sewage, or interim director of water and sewage, that, GM used more water than this is proposed to use. So, I understand what people's concerns are. We do have water pressure issues, but the water pressure issues in Southeast Shreveport are due to the fact of urban sprawl. And the reason we have urban sprawl is because we've annexed everybody we can to be able to pay our bills. So, which came first, the chicken or the egg? So we're trying to bring in an industry that will, number one, give us a tremendous amount of sales tax. People think, well, we're abating a good bit of the tax, but we're still getting 1%, a third of 1% on a multi-billion-dollar project. That's number one.
Sales
number
tax,
two,
though, what do they sell?
The sales tax for building the building.
Okay, but that ends at some point, right?
And everything that goes into the building.
Okay.
So everything
that
they
buy. Are their property taxes abated?
Yes, property taxes are abated.
Why do we do that? Why do we do that for these big companies, and we don't do it for small town businesses?
That is standard around the country to bring in big. And honestly, I don't think it really matters to people, but that's standard. These big companies have enough money. I heard Danny McCormick on there with y'all on, was it Friday or Thursday?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He makes a very valid point. I don't think these big companies care, but that is standard to bring them in, because if we don't abate the taxes, then they're gonna move right over here to Harrison County. And that's what people need to understand. Let's say there are several acres in Karnak at the old Army ammunition plant, right? And I'm not trying to give anybody any ideas, but what if they move over there and Harrison County says, yeah, we'll give you tax abatements and we'll sell you all the water we can? And all the people that are worried about the water and all this other kind of stuff, all that is going to flow into our rivers and stuff anyway, in their mind. But it's not. It's going to be treated at the wastewater plant. And it, whatever runoff there is, there's not going to be any into the ground. So, it's going into the sewer system, and we can handle it. I've been assured by our water and sewer people. So all the questions have been answered for me. but I believe it's important for the citizens to hear exactly what we've heard, because there's a lot of misnomers that are going around about it.
Okay, I have to ask you this, because you represent Southeast Shreveport. If this was proposed on a big chunk of land near Ellerby and Fly Lucas in your district, what would be happening to you right now?
Have you been out to the port lately?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have.
That's about a mile and a half. The
right.
port owns land right there. So, I mean, that question asked, you must not have watched the meeting on Tuesday, because I had that question asked by a young lady. And I would be doing everything that I'm doing right now. If it were zoned industrial, like this is already zoned, that's another thing that
people
are missing.
That's a big point, Grayson.
Right. That's why the questions
point.
Like that to me are irrelevant.
You know, it's an industrial park. That's just like, how can I get, let's say that the port wants to build a big plant on Highway 1 just south of Flournoy Lucas Road. They're acquiring all the land out there. I've got a street, the port road. I'm sure that you followed that.
Sure.
The toll road is going through a neighborhood, and I own a lot in it. And, you know, I mean, if it's owned by right, there's really not much we can do. This is already an industrial park. So, all this is a site plan approval, basically, because the plant's going to be so big, I believe. That's what I was told. I don't know. But it's just a site plan approval. That's it.
Do they have to come back before the council at some point for building permits and all that stuff? Does it come back before you ever again?
I don't think it does, no.
So Thursday is the vote?
Yes.
Do you have an indication on how the vote will go?
I don't. I have talked to a few council members, of course. Councilman Talaferro and I have talked, because we're getting the same questions. I mean, honestly, we have a lot of the same constituents. We overlap a lot. So, Jim and I talk a great deal about stuff. And we thought that this was the best way to get it out. So I would encourage everybody to come. And no question is a dumb question. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I would like people to keep in mind, we're not going into this blindly. I mean, we have asked a lot of questions, some that have been seen and some that have not been seen about this. And I think overall, this is a good thing for Shreveport as we move down the road. I really, really do. I think that the amount of sales tax for just building materials and things like that, and then selling the water, there's a lot of things that we'll be able to do with that money.
Alternative sites, people have said. The Libby Glass plant, that whole thing could be torn down. They could build it there. That may not be big enough. I don't know. The GM plant, well, obviously that's not in the city limits. Y'all want this in the city limits. Are there better alternative sites in your view? Have you posed that question at all?
I've not heard the alternative site question. The people that have been very vocal about it, that are not just asking questions, but the ones that have been very vocal about it, have not wanted it in Shreveport at all, from what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand if on one hand you're saying that this is a bad thing and it's going to cause environmental issues, why would you want to put it right in the center of Shreveport? That didn't make a whole bunch of sense with Libby Glass. I mean, they've been trying to shut down Calumet for years. So, you know what I'm saying? If it's
right.
got environmental problems, that doesn't make any sense to me. I think that this is a perfect location. If you are coming to put an industry in Shreveport, where are the first places you're going to look? Are you going to look in a residential neighborhood that's zoned residential or commercial, C1 to C2? No, you're going to be looking for an industrial park, if that's what they found.
And
that's
we have
that. That land is zoned.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that land is zoned. So I mean, what do they want? Something out there that makes cookies? I mean, I don't.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but if it makes.
Tell them Mrs. Fields.
If it makes cookies, are diabetics going to be able to live close to it? What about the burn off of the sugar making the cookies? I mean, come on.
I'm allergic to chocolate. I can't be near chocolate. Anyway, you sound
exactly.
like a yes vote. You're a yes vote Thursday. You're pretty confident that all the I's have been dotted and the T's crossed.
I feel confident that the questions that I've asked and that I've asked on behalf of my constituents have been answered yes. And unless something crazy comes up, then yes, I am a yes vote. Now, I want to take this back. Just one step. You know, Barksdale Air Force Base has 12,000 employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if back in the 20s we had done the same thing we're doing with the data center? Where do you think we'd be right now? Mm. What if?
We don't want those planes flying over us.
Right. We don't want weapons next to us. And then the other thing.
Well, Shreveport was in line to get Barksdale, and that happened. And it went to Bossier.
Wow.
Well, but we own the land. Shreveport owned the land, and we sell Barksdale water. Yeah. Our water's going to Barksdale. Mm. Should we shut that line off?
Mm. Goodness.
Okay, yeah. So once again, meeting tomorrow night at the Broadmoor Library.
Yes, and there's a meeting tonight at Bill Cockrell Park as well. I don't have the time on that.
Okay, cool.
But there are two different forums that you can go to and get your questions answered. And I would just encourage, if anybody has any questions, go and ask the questions and let the professionals ask. Because, you know, I know Mike Bisonis said something that was very poignant, in my opinion, at the last meeting. He said, you know, if I've got a headache, I'm going to ask a doctor how to cure a headache or, you know, some kind of illness.
Sure.
I'm not going to go ask somebody else. So my theory is, if I've got a cold, I'm not going to ask the person that's giving me my hamburger from McDonald's what I need to take.
Gotcha.
You know,
and you'll have the experts there at the meeting, Broadmoor Library.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow afternoon.
That's what the purpose of this is to get the answers. Now, people may not like the answers, and they may spin them in a way that they, you know, that fit whatever narrative there is. But, you know, all I can go off of is what the professionals are telling me. And I have absolutely no idea other than watching Back to the Future about gigawatts and things like that. That's the only thing.
Grayson, you and me both.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it, and we look forward to the meeting.
Hey, thanks. Y'all have a good morning. Merry Christmas, and I'll talk to y'all.
You bet.
Merry
you
Christmas.
Too.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
If I thought this weren't a good idea, I would say so.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Me too.
And like you said, if it turns out it's not, we'll be the first to say.
Made a horrible mistake.
Hey.
We got lied to. We said that about Elio Motors. We were supportive.
That was before my time.
Early on.
I hear you.
And when it turned into the boondoggle it was, we were the first to say, boondoggle.
But you brought up an interesting point. Off mic during the break, you mentioned it with Grayson Butcher. Barksdale was supposed to be in Shreveport,
mm-hmm.
And it's now in Bossier.
Got a little
Louisiana Downs looked at Shreveport, was supposed to be in Shreveport. It's now in Bossier.
Louisiana Downs actually wanted West Shreveport site, and Shreveport residents said no, so it located in East Bossier, and on a big piece of land, and it was the gold standard for horse racing for years.
Right.
I mean, it was a luxury horse racing track. I'll never forget my years of being down there and being up in the press box and just, I mean, it was incredible.
I know Barksdale at one time, it may still be, I think, the second largest Air Force base landmass in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Guys, let's do something right. As Mayor Tom Arsenault told us last week, you know, in Shreveport's history, they haven't made the best decisions.
Right.
And this is a home run. This is a home run for Shreveport.
And what did you hear Mayor Tommy Chandler say? Hey.
Yeah. Open arms, baby.
We'll take it.
Open arms.
Bring it on. I even said 500 feet within your house. He was like, yep, bring it on.
Yeah.
They're quiet. I'm fine with that.
And he lives in a nice subdivision.
Yes, absolutely. So we really, I mean, and I understand people are scared of it and they worry that, you know, it's going to have long-term implications.
But it's out of ignorance. And I don't mean that stupidity. Ignorance is different. You can educate yourself out of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Look up the information. Look it up. Don't just go to a meeting and start complaining without knowing the facts.
The opponents will say, you go look it up. There are problems with data centers. Yeah, in the early days, there were some problems. The ones they're building now, they're doing things right. They're building their own power plants. They're building water towers. They're taking care of what they need so that it's not a burden on the communities. We're building, Entergy's building two power plants in Richland Parish.
And the taxpayers aren't paying for those.
No, it's being paid for by Meta.
Right.
Meta is paying for it. It's not even Entergy paying for it. So Entergy doesn't have to pass the cost on to anybody. It's Meta paying for it. So it is a little frustrating because do the full research. Maybe data centers of the past were a problem, but I think right now they're doing things right. And if I'm wrong, I will be the first to say, hey, we were wrong.
Aaron's got news next. Mikey McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I'm not calling opponents ignorant. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not calling anybody anything. We got some messages on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Everyone who lives around Calumet has died of cancer.
Nah, I used to live over there. I'm not dead yet.
There seems to be a lot of houses there now. Another, wouldn't the company have to pay for water usage just like any other water customer? Same for electricity? Think so. All I'm saying is I don't see the downside. The right. Questions that I've seen and that I've had have been answered. We've had officials now go to other data centers that have done it right and have come back extremely happy.
Now I've done the math on the water, and this could really be good news for Shreveport. It is,
as the mayor told us last week.
Yes, the city has approved selling the data center 7.5 million gallons a day. I don't know that they will need that much. Most data centers use 3 to 4 million gallons a day. But let's say we sell them 7 million gallons a day. That's the number I did the math on. That's almost $4 million a year in water sales that right now we don't get. We have the water. We could sell them $4 million worth of water. That money could then be used in our infrastructure.
To repair the infrastructure.
To pump it in the parts of town, in the Highland, the Broadmoor, the older neighborhoods, where we know we have infrastructure critical needs. That money could then be used for that. Any infrastructure that this plant is going to need, they're going to pay for. They have pledged that already. If they need a water tower there, they're going to build a water tower. You know, it's
right. Like Libby Glass did.
Absolutely. And it'll be one. I do still have questions
about Barksdale Air Force Base built a water tower.
I have questions about the tax abatement. I really do. I don't like that a big company like that, right, a 2.8 million square foot building, will pay no property tax. I have a problem with that. Most conservatives should have a problem with that. We have decided that that's what you have to do to get them here. I think I might have pushed back on that a little and saying, look, this is perfect for y'all, but we really want you to pay property taxes. But I'm sure their negotiators say, Wascom doesn't want property taxes.
Yeah.
Tyler doesn't want property taxes. North Bossier doesn't want property taxes.
Yeah.
So what do you do at that point? If you really want them, maybe they pay it anyway.
You look at the other benefits and go, do they outweigh the loss of this?
So,
you're not getting it anyway.
Right.
You're not losing anything.
I also question how much we're going to get on a 1% sales tax.
Well, it's, what do you say, 0.3% of 1% or something
right,
like that.
Right, because you share it with the sheriff, the school board, and everyone else. So we shall see. Anyway.
I-20 construction, I want to talk a little bit about that when we come back. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, your phone's blowing up. We've got some follow-up on this.
Good night.
This is awesome.
Okay, bad information came from Mike, so we got to clear this up. What?
I'm not arguing. You see, I'm not arguing.
No, it's not. It was all from me. I screwed this up. At 2.5 million gallons a day, we could see $3 million. So $3 million. So double that if they sell them 5 million gallons a day, $6 million. That's from Brandon Sneed, Water and Sewer Director. So it's way more money than I was saying.
We've got plenty of water.
We have plenty of water.
Is it set up for it? Okay, Brandon, is it 80 million gallons?
Yes, you can set.
A day that we're set up for?
And I think we only use 20 million. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's Mike's fault. I'm blaming it on him. I got other texts this morning from very high-powered people. They will pay a portion of the property taxes. The incentive is only a partial abatement of the property taxes.
Okay.
Another from our friend Justin Dixon at NLEP. That is absolutely wrong, in all caps. Can you
when
hear
you
that?
Said no property tax.
Yes. The company will pay property taxes, more so than Meta even agreed to. So they're going to be paying more property taxes than Meta agreed to. So I screwed up. I got bad information from somewhere, and I just want to make sure that it's clear they will be paying property taxes and sales taxes. So, you know, that's a good thing.
I don't see the downside.
I really don't. I know there are people who are worried, and they're concerned that there will be long-term implications. I'm with you. I don't see the downside. And there's people calling us shills that we're shilling for this thing. Obviously not when we're screwing up crap regularly and they're having to correct us. It's Mike's fault. I'm blaming Mike for that.
Okay, I'll take it.
Meeting today at 11, the Caddo Commission at Government Plaza. They're having their public service committee meeting. And there's a meeting tonight at 6 o'clock at Bill Cockrell Park.
Right.
And then a meeting tomorrow at 5:30 in the afternoon. And that one is at the Broadmoor Library. So if you have questions, those are the places you need to go.
Butcher told us that there will be officials from SWEPCO.
Yes.
And the city.
Mm-hmm.
Answering those questions.
Absolutely. And William Bradford is going to be there at the meeting at Bill Cockrell Park tonight. He'll join us tomorrow morning to talk about how that went, because that's in the district where this is going to be located. And then the city council meeting on Thursday is at 3 o'clock. You only get 3 minutes before the council, so you really can't engage and ask questions. But you can go before the council and voice your concerns. A lot of people are saying, oh, they have these meetings in the middle of the day. No, tonight, 6 o'clock, mm-hmm. Bill Cockrell. Tomorrow, 5:30 in the afternoon at the Broadmoor Library. So you have a chance. If you're working and you want to go voice your concerns, now's your chance.
Or your support.
Yeah, absolutely. You bet.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, I did want to mention the construction in Bossier on I-20. Hopefully coming to an end. Mm-hmm. I saw last week they were pulling up some of those barriers. Now, I don't know if they were just moving them, but they were putting them onto a truck, and they had a big thing lifting them up.
That's awesome.
So that's exciting. Mm-hmm. But we did have a big accident this morning on I-20, and it was a truck.
What are they doing there?
That's not supposed to have been there.
They need to find them out the wazoo.
I know that we've Aaron Buchanan has told us, yes, police are up there. We've had reports that there are writing tickets.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously they're not strict enough. And how many times have we gone I-20 heading back into town from here?
Mm-hmm.
And trucks are just following us right through. Now, maybe somebody's making a delivery. Maybe they're getting off in Shreveport someplace. But they're good. I got a text from my buddy that said, yeah, that wreck on I-20 in Bossier was a truck that was not supposed to have been there. He goes, pet peeve.
Well, I know, and I see them when I'm going home on I-20. I see them approaching downtown Shreveport. And when they don't exit at Spring and Market, you know they're going through. I mean, right. they're going through. And I'm tempted to follow them and video them and then send it to their company that, why are your truckers doing this? They should be doing it. But I know, the truth be known, is we all know the communication network with the truckers. If there's no cops there,
right.
they spread the word. And they all know, no cops, smooth sailing, take I-20, it's good to go. So they know. I mean, they know whether there's cops there or not ahead of time. And if there's cops, guess what? They're going, they're taking the loop. They're going around.
Right.
So they get the word out faster than almost anybody I know. Big time.
But if you've driven through Bossier on I-20, you know how narrow those that lane is trying to get through there.
Absolutely.
And I'm in a pickup and I'm going, I can't imagine driving an 18-wheeler.
Oh, I really can't. I'm with you on that. And I'm just stunned that they've built however many miles of I-20 it is, and I'm still sitting looking at Knight Street that started in June of 24, and they're not even close.
But then also, after some of the recent reports that have come out, and I'm not talking about all truckers, obviously, but how many were issued, especially in California, CDLs that can't even speak English, that can't read, that don't know, that can't read the warning signs.
You're right.
Don't go through here. What percentage of those that are going through Bossier can't even speak English?
They know whether or not they should go on those roads. They know where they belong. I promise you, unless they're a brand new driver and it's their first time ever,
there's no excuse.
I know.
There's no excuse. And I wish, from the state police to Bossier Sheriff's Department and Bossier City Police, I wish they'd be a lot stricter on that.
Yeah. And for whoever the trucker was today that caused that wreck, I know somebody going to be calling to make them pay, lady.
Right.
Truck wrecks, they calling my buddy Jacqueline.
We got a busy day tomorrow. There's changes on LSU Health.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people not happy with this.
Yes. Big data center meetings today. Lots of chances to voice your opinion. 11 o'clock this morning, 6 o'clock tonight. And again, another one tomorrow afternoon at 5:30 at the Broadmoor Library.
And William Bradford will join us tomorrow at recapping some of these meetings.
Yep, he'll be at Cockrell this evening, I know.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on that free Keel app.